this is the powerful truth, angels. And we have of LA in a minute, Evan. Do you go by Evan or do you go by...
They usually say the LA in a minute guy.
The LA in a minute guy, Evan.
But yeah, Evan.
Yeah, Evan,
Evan. Hello.
Hello. Sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you. Evan's a journalist and Evan has a hell of a voice. And Evan has a lot of energy. Before the cameras came on, and today we're going to do something a little different because we're trying to infuse this show with a little structure. Jason's been begging me for this. I always just say, whatever, let it fly. But at this point, it's like, who cares? Let's try some new shit. Jason's going to be prompting us. He's going to give us things to talk about, drop facts. You know I'm terrible. As soon as I turn my phone over, I just start ADDing out and shit. But before I just did it right now, before we started the show, you guys were talking about business cards. And I guess Evan, like myself, is a collector of business cards. And I have a collection, because I am a bit of a pack rat, of business cards from the 90s of, like, you know, streetwear companies, artists. I have like old like Mr. Cartoon business cards that are really nice.
That's what we're talking about.
And I have some of my own business cards. I used to make business cards and be very proud of, like, you know, how they looked and you know.
It's important. I mean, like, if you're a certain kind of person, I should say it's important. It's a souvenir, a relic, it's a memento. I mean, some people collect matchbook covers, bottle caps. Go on, Paul, go on.
No, I'm listening.
So I think
it's one of those days. Yeah. No, there's no need anymore for business cards. It's very fucking analog. As a matter of fact, when we were going to Vegas, the guys in the art department were like, can we get business cards? I was like, what the fuck for? What do you want? You want me to print up? Because you have to print up 1,000 minimum.
Right? I got a guy who does 250s.
Okay. Even 250. You had to print up 250 cards. I'm going to make them nice.
Yeah.
The last series of business cards I did just said, like, they're around here somewhere. One of them just says,
they say, like, suck my dick and stuff.
No, they don't say suck my dick. Oh. One of them says...
kind of a vibe, though.
One of them says, like, I only you don't have to leave, but go... I don't know what it fucking says. It says some
slogan or
some
something.
Smart bullshit that I would write. Those little white business cards. Kat, have you seen those little white square business cards that have slogans on them in here or around here? You ever seen those? Well, they exist.
I was going to one day have a museum exhibit. This was my dream. This is probably not going to happen. But of business cards from the Los Angeles area, restaurants that are no longer extant or anything like that, or important people, LA people, Mr. Cartoon, fucking Two Tone. How dope would that be to have these business cards, like, displayed, like, in certain ways? I mean, you do it one way. Like, I was envisioning, like, frames and individual and, like, you know, stuff like that. I think it's dope.
That's a cool idea. Segment. It's definitely something from an era long gone. Thank you so much.
But they might be even more valuable now. That's because it's like a physical object.
Correct.
An era long gone.
Like records. People buy records, you know?
Yeah, bro, it is a souvenir. It's real. It's something for something. Look, I collected these today, bro. These were from today at this bullshit. Not a bullshit. At this Hollywood event I went to. I was at the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce, State of Hollywood, because I was invited. It's not the type of event I would go to. It's not the type of event I cover. It was interesting. There were people there. And yeah, like, they are like, you're the only man guy. Oh, here's a card. Well, we should do a story on blah, blah, blah. Here's a card. I think it's cool. Now I remember them. Now I look at them when I get back to my desk, to the office. And some of them that are legit, you're like, wow, that's cool. I did a story. Oldest restaurant, like a business card from the Saugus Cafe, like oldest restaurant, like a business card from the 19th century. Come on, man.
And in the Bay, they used to call them business cards. Anybody? All right, I'll leave it alone. I heard you guys also talking about Chaka.
So I remember Chaka as a kid growing up in the Valley. That was my very first memory of him. But there was always this stigma, I guess, with tagging. You know what I mean? Because I didn't grow up in graffiti culture.
Yeah.
So it was like tagging. And there, it was a bad thing. Newspapers tagging is a problem. And this guy, Chaka, 10,000 tags. So it's costing the city so much money. I was looking at the old newspapers. It's like $1 million, which, again, for me, $1 million is a lot. But for the city, you're like, it's not that big of a problem.
Right, but they're
that's
spending,
what,
like,
you're worrying about. Yes. And then
they're spending $3 million a night on helicopters that just don't do anything.
They're putting patrol out. They're putting undercovers out to catch Chaka. And there's this one footage from an undercover cop. It was hilarious. Where, like, he was a kid, looking at the Chaka tag, and it was him. It was him. I won't say his name, but he's pointing the tag and they're like, oh, do you know who that is? And it's this cop's undercover footage. And he's like, yeah, Chaka. And he's like, do you know who that is? And then he's like, nah. And then he's like, who are you? Or what's your name? Or he's like, do you know who that is? He's like, yeah, it's Chaka. And then he's like, who are you? And he's like, says his name. Can I say his first name?
Yeah.
Daniel.
Yeah.
But it's him.
Yeah.
But the undercover was trying to bust him, but he wasn't. That's so they just, yeah. So they have that footage. Which
he's all, hello, fellow kid. Do you like tagging and graffiti? Who's that guy?
Yes.
Like,
there you go. Yeah. Thank you. Told much.
I mean, I feel like the whole thing is like every, look, America itself is, the whole thing is a fucking Ponzi scheme. It's all a scam. Even having a graffiti task force to stop graffiti, and like, it's just another reason for the department like to spend more money and to get budgets. Like when I heard the whole thing about the helicopters,
yeah,
the LAPD helicopters are like, they're spending, they spend so much money keeping them afloat, and they're not even used. They just fly them out because they got to keep their budgets going. Because the way budgets work, right?
Yeah.
Let's say you establish, let's say Born and Raised establishes a budget for the art department.
Okay.
And that art department budget is, I don't know, I'm going to give you guys $20,000 a quarter for supplies, right? Now, what happens is, at the end of the year, if you only spent $30,000, then I'm taking the budget down because I don't want to spend the money.
You only need $30,000.
So you got to keep spending that money. Yeah. That's why everything is a fucking scam.
What an interesting
everything.
Perspective. I didn't know that. I did know Los Angeles is the helicopter capital of the Western Hemisphere. So,
yeah. Well, shout out to helicopters and scamming in general. And shout out to all of you who are loyal, powerful Truth Angels fans. I'm not quitting the show. LA is one of the creative hubs of America, yes. Right? There's a couple. It's LA and Cincinnati and Cleveland. No, I'm kidding. It's LA and it's New York.
I was
and it's
say, how do you not mention Tulsa?
No, I don't know. I mean, it's wherever people are migrating to do stuff. I mean, it's a bunch of places. LA is one of them. And, you know, and there's a lot of things happening here, creative. There's a lot of art. I mean, the art scene changed here, I'd say about 15, 20 years ago. I think maybe when art in the streets happened, maybe that's what changed things. I don't know if you're privy to all that stuff, but
what, like, is art in the streets for the
art in the
person?
Streets was like one of the biggest graffiti shows. And I don't want to, I think it was Deitch, put it on. I'm fried. So don't hang me in the comments here, but like, and also I could be wrong about this, but in my opinion, from what I've observed, was that LA did not have an art scene. LA did not have a good restaurant scene. LA didn't have, you know, like fashion. You know, I still don't think we have much fashion. I think we have a lot of streetwear and advertising, but not a lot of fashion. And LA didn't have a lot of these things. And that's changed a lot over the past 10 to 20 years, because things like, we now have restaurants that are reputable, and we have galleries that are reputable, and people are showing art here, and we have the art fairs here.
So was it never here, or was it never exposed? Because you go back to restaurants, and I always think about that.
It wasn't here. Well, Jonathan Gold stuff. Yes.
So like food was absolutely here. Maybe
it was
not.
Here. Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, when I say restaurants, I'm not talking about food. I'm talking about like fucking hoity-toity
acclaimed
horseshit. Yeah, yeah.
Where, like, all of a sudden, like fucking Bon Appetit magazine is like most exciting food city Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Me personally, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I'm down to eat somewhere fire.
Yeah.
But I'm not, I don't care about the, I don't need to be there first. I'll go there 6 years later. I do not care.
Right.
If someone's like, yo, I got a res, I'm like, let's go. Or if I'm taking someone out special.
I always
want
to try it, by the way. Anybody out there, I always try it.
Yeah,
I just dope and new. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm down, but I don't, some people, it's really their thing.
Yes.
And sometimes I've taken people out and they're like, I took a friend out. And we went to the steakhouse, and I was like, I went there because someone else took me there once. And she's like, why'd you bring me here? I was like, I don't know. It's a cool steak. It's a great steak. She's like, yeah, but it kind of sucks. And she was a friend, so she was, you know, she's an asshole.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. And I was like, I guess I never think about, like, if I find something that works for me,
yeah,
like, I just go there. Like, yeah. I go to places that are around my house, and I'm like, I just keep going. I'm like, this is great. I get the same thing. I'm a creature
why
of habit.
Not, bro? Why not?
Creature of habit.
Okay, so I want to address that, though, as far as LA being a magnet for culture. I think historically, I can't speak to the art scene like this. And I've always heard these tropes and this kind of narrative. And as somebody who's been just an outside observer, fine. I mean, I would trust this man right here with that assessment. But I think as a creative center and a cultural center, it's always been a magnet, right? I mean, that's what Los Angeles is. Just a drawing from every culture, right? So you start there, just the sense that Los Angeles, I mean, again, more Koreans anywhere outside of Korea, more El Salvadorians anywhere outside of El Salvador, more Salvadoranos anywhere outside of El Salvador, more Mexicans anywhere outside of Mexico for major cities. And all these things come together. Uganda, we have a family friend that's Ugandan, more Ugandans anywhere outside of Uganda. So all these things come together and creative people can draw from that, those cultural influences, right? So I think that A, just having that as like the baseline first inspires people. And second, I got to go back to this because this is the truth. And it's funny because I was thinking about that because I was at that Hollywood event and I stay out of Hollywood, not out of Hollywood, the city, but out of Hollywood culture. It's just not my thing. But what draws a lot of creatives throughout time has been we're the center of movies and thus the center of attention for the world and have impacted the world and exported our culture for better or for worse. So that I think draws people in from the every sector, including art and every kind of culture.
Well, it also draw, and that's a good word, culture, because I think LA has been for people that from people on the outside, they think it's light on culture. Because Hollywood has running. Hollywood isn't a culture. It's, you know, it is what it is. But there is.
Would you say it's more a business than a culture?
No, I mean, movies are an art form, but movies are a fucking business. And it's like worshiping celebrities is stupid. So is that a culture? I don't think. I mean, yeah, sure, it's a culture. I don't fucking know. It's just, but either way.
You're saying Hollywood as Hollywood.
Yeah, Hollywood. Yes. But LA as a whole has rich cultures. Many of them, it's a fucking melting pot. You just have to, the tough thing about LA is getting into all this shit. Because if you don't know somebody,
yes.
Like in New York, you walk outside and you've done 10 things from 10 different places with a million different kinds of people in a day without even blinking. Yeah. LA, it's like you if you don't have somewhere to go, you're stuck. Like you got to have a destination, you got to have a car, and you're like, you know, I've sometimes been put on this shit in LA from people coming out from New York who are like, oh, I'm going to this party. I'm like, what the fuck is this? You know, because it's very clicky. It's very segregated and it's very spread out.
When you say segregated, you mean racially segregated or you mean like culturally? Not both.
Like, it's like, listen, there's areas of town that are like, it's not like New York where everything's mixed in. Like everything is, there's like pieces of town that are different ethnicities and it's even defined more so. Like, and a lot of people stick
like the Byzantine
together.
Quarter.
Yeah.
Like, geez, what the fuck? Sorry. Go on.
No, not at all. No. I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, so it's different. It doesn't have the same, like there are places that you grow up that are multi, you know, Venice was multicultural, you know, like you saw a lot of, I went to high school with everything you could ever imagine. Right?
Yeah.
But not everything is like that, you know?
Right.
And the pockets and the neighborhoods kind of stay, you know, it's also socioeconomic. I mean, it's a whole thing, but you know,
I'll say something that you kind of hit on at first. There's a guy in my neighborhood who was jogging and he like stopped me and he wanted to talk about LA. And I was like, so you love LA, blah, blah. He's like, yeah, but it took me a long time. Took me a long time to find my people. He said for like 7 years, you want to go home. I think it was from Maryland. He said, and he was like but job work, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, took me 7 years, but he's like, once I found my people, he's like, I was home. And he's like, I would never leave. And he says this to me. He's like, my advice to people is like, your people are here somewhere. You just got to find them.
You got
to
dig.
Yeah. So, that kind of goes to what you were saying in the beginning.
Yeah. So LA, you know, LA is currently a cultural and artistic hub and, you know, it'll, I don't know.
But I will say, listen, and I'm not going to debate, but I've always felt, and maybe I'm naive. I am naive, but I've always felt that it is not assimilated or integrated. I guess integrated, even though the word's like got a terrible kind of context where I feel like, again, I grew up in the Valley, right? It's a boring, plain ass Valley. But in my homeroom in seventh grade, I never forget that Egyptian person, Kenyan person, Mexican person, Jewish person, Korean. So I'm like, to me in LA, whether you're high on the socioeconomic pole or low, you're going to have people of every race and ethnicity in that neighborhood and area, in my opinion, that I've
But
right, I know that, you know, I'm not.
Let's say this neighborhood.
Yeah.
Undisclosed area.
Yeah.
it is now primarily white. Okay. Now it is been gentrified.
Yeah.
If you go that way, it's primarily Korean and Salvadorian and Mexican still. There's no black people living around here. There's just not. Like it is broken the fuck up. Like, yeah, bro. If you really think about it, if you really get into it, like it is broken up, and those lines were drawn a long time ago.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
There's a whole, you know, the redlining shit, all that fucking shit is real. And those things were set up. Like, you know, there's Ladera Heights, which is like the Black Beverly Hills. Yeah. Like, you know, all that shit is like, there's lines that were fucking, you know, drawn and set up, and there's parameters and people have lived within them.
Here I was and on that note, my barber's from Maywood, so I was asking him, like, what's Maywood like, bro? He's like, oof, he's like, Maywood's ugh. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, put it this way, he's like, my mom moved us out of Pico Union in the early 90s because it's basically like the murder capital of the United States for a safer area. We ended up in Maywood, and he's like, shit was worse. But he says to me, and he's half Salvadoreño, half Mexican, he says to me, I don't think I talked to somebody outside of my race. He's like, I didn't see anybody outside of my race until I moved to the Valley, is what he said. But he's like, and I'm being honest. He's like, I don't think I had a conversation with a Black person or a white person.
Yeah.
He's like, until I went to, he moved to North Hollywood. So I'm like, that's a...
That's true. That's true.
To that point. To that point.
Yeah,
but
there's people that don't, you know, they don't experience other cultures and races because they're landlocked, you know. And I don't know. I think that's by construct. I think LA was set up to be that way on purpose a long time ago. Yeah. And I think that sometimes those things are really hard to break those constructs.
That's what I was just going to ask. Is it working? Is there progress being made?
No, there's no fucking progress being made because you can't, like...
That's pessimistic, man.
No, I'm not. I'm just realistic. I don't think there's... fuck, progress? No, hell no. This shit is fucked up. Like, I'm not pessimistic, but I don't think there's been any... I think that these lines were drawn a long time ago, and I think that I think there's shit. Like, bro, the fucking Daryl Gates, LAPD, bringing in... Was it Daryl Gates who did this? He brought in Southern cops because they're the most racist.
Now, that I didn't know. That's not surprising based on the Gates reputation and Gates, some
early
actions,
Gates,
but yeah.
Brought in to manage the Black folks South Central, he brings in the most fucking redneck racist cops from the South. Yeah, so then...
I think a lot of them are like ex-military too.
Yeah, and the culture of the LAPD, it's in the culture to be fucking racist. So like when Rodney King happened, that's part of the culture of the LAPD. And that, the thing I think about now is like Rodney King is a fucking scratch compared to what's happening now. Because we're numb to it. Huh. B, you see it all every day. And D, like Rodney King was like a man being beat. And that fucking made the city burn down. Literally. Now you could literally like could pull up IG and see someone's head get blown off and you're like, oh, they did it again. Like there's not even a fucking, like we're so like, come on,
desensitized.
We're just so desensitized. Like, yeah. I just like, and it's like, I don't know what you're supposed to do. Like I was talking to, I don't want to bum people out, but like we got to toe the line. Like we got to sell t-shirts. We got to make drawings. Like we got to have podcasts, you know, I got to have a matcha, right? Because the world's burning.
Provided a different perspective for a sec on this.
And what's Netanyahu doing? What's up with that guy? What's his problem?
It's like a crazy here.
Let's talk about Netanyahu.
Hold on. I just want to bring up one thing.
Wait,
about
can I just?
Okay, yeah. Okay. Wait, you really want to get into that?
I mean, sure. Fuck. Listen, I heard a theory that he started. Here's a theory, and I'm going to let it go.
We are staying in the format, folks.
We're staying in the format.
We are staying in the format. Go on.
Okay.
But really quick.
I was told that he was about to be arrested, impeached, or whatever, and he let Hamas come through the border so he could start a war. Now listen. I listen.
He was about to be impeached.
Right. And you might think that that's crazy.
I think maybe even arrested, too. Don't quote me on that. But I try to look at both sides on this. And quote unquote let is strong language. However, I have Israeli friends. I'm Jewish, by the way. I have Israeli friends, blah, blah, blah. But they're like, listen. Everybody needs to enlist or whatever. So everybody who lives, male, female, you have to serve. And they're like, I was in the military. The Israeli military does not have lapses like that. They're basically, they were known
as the most advanced military in the world. Yes.
And they're like, bro, if a fucking bird pooped in the wrong way near the Gaza Strip, like we would know about it. Like, and so the fact that
these motherfuckers were coming through with scooters, with rocket launchers,
not a parachute. What was this thing called? The fucking like paraglider.
They opened the doors.
So again, to say that, I don't know about that, but something was amiss.
Let me be clear,
in a major way.
I know you can't talk about this shit. And I know I can't on any level talk about it. I'm talking about a person.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about Israel.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about Jews. I'm talking about Netanyahu.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a man. Talking about a man who is fallible, who right. does not represent the people inside that country. Just like who, whatever motherfucker is telling me what to do. I don't. You think the people that run America represent me on any level? I'm trapped in this bitch. I don't know where else to go. But this shit is fucked up. This shit is fucked. Our choice is you can have a fucking, you can have a Whopper or a Big Mac for president. Man. One of the two. They're both disgusting, poisonous, horrible things that are carcinogenic and are going to fuck you up and make you
it
die.
It fucking
and make
pains
you sick.
Me.
It's terrible.
I can't believe we're really getting into this, but I like it. I enjoy it.
Fuck it.
But
cares?
Listen to this. It's like, look, man, I'm like a dying in the wool. Like my parents were hippies, yeah. liberal.
Same.
Dad burned his draft card. Mom burned her bra. Grew up fucking Democrat as possible, liberal. Again, all that. And so I've thusly like voted Democrat and like, look, I'll just say I voted Biden over Trump in 2020. It wasn't a hard decision for me.
Sure.
But even recognizing in 2020 that Biden was probably close to senility. And I used to throw this joke out where I'd be like, if an Uber driver showed up just for me and my wife to go out on date night, an Uber driver showed up looking like that, I'd be like, canceled. Like I'll just wait another. And that's just an Uber driver, not somebody. But on the other hand is a guy who's showing up that's like fucking Hunter Thompson, Fear and Loathing, like, get in. Yeah. Like, you remember that fucking, and you're like, dude, I don't know about this. So that's kind of the choice. And now Biden's 4 years older. Trump's fucking got the January 6th under his belt. And if I mean, yeah, so the choices
come
are pretty,
on.
Pretty.
The illusion of and I'm not a conspiracy weird. Theorist. I don't fucking, you know, loose change, sure, melt steel beams, whatever. Sure, probably all real. Who cares? But anyways, they don't even, there's not even an illusion of choice anymore. They're not, no one else, they won't let anyone else in. They won't let Bernie in, the fucking guy, the Kennedy, the buff, what the fuck's his name? The buff Kennedy.
Robert Kennedy.
Shout out to
Junior.
Is he buff? I haven't seen his physique. Is he
super,
really? Is
he's
like
super
fit?
Buff from what I hear. He's like,
he has a man's man effect.
No
to him.
Shit. Okay.
I mean, you know, they're not going to let that guy get anywhere near anything because the structure set up. I mean, Trump. I don't know, man. It's so crazy. We're post idiocracy.
So
post like it's idiocracy would be nice. I'd rather have that president with the fucking with the gold M16s. What's his name? Macho Rambo, whatever the fuck his
Kamala?
Name is. Huh?
Kamala or something?
The guy in Idiocracy, Terry Crews.
President Kamala or something like that.
Give me Terry Crews. Elect fucking Ricky in the art department. I would have more faith in Ricky than Biden or Trump. Like, are you kidding me?
It's legit. And I never believe. I believe in our system. I take a lot of gut for that. I really do feel that America, California, Los Angeles have gotten to a certain point. Hella flawed, completely a lot of failures. But again, compared to many societies, I feel like there have been a lot of successes to get to this point. So I like to believe in the quote unquote system, but the older you get and the more you see it and just these things where like, again, and I got to bring this up. This is a perfect example. This Hollywood thing I was at, it was the state of Hollywood and a political figure was speaking. And the deal is they want to have the businesses in Hollywood, important like Hollywood business people talk and ask questions. What's going on with crime? What's going on with homelessness? What are you doing about it? My shop was broken. You hear about these restaurants getting fucking demolished and not just vandalized, but registers stolen, $80,000 worth of damage, El Serape, all that kind of stuff. So like, and they're like, well, you know, like, here's the process and like, contact my office and blah, blah. And I'm like, motherfucker. Like,
well, you know,
and you know, it has to work a certain way, but like, you're like, that's like, okay, yeah, here, contact. Okay, cool.
If you want a police response at this point, you have to cut someone's head off and FaceTime them with the head in your hand. That's how you get the cops to maybe come. You know why they're doing that? They're standing down so we vote Republican. They don't give a fuck. They're pissed off because of the fucking BLM shit. They're pissed off because of all that stuff. And they're like, okay, fuck it. You don't need us. You want to defund us? We're taking away the helicopters. So, you know, they're like, listen, we need our helicopters because we have to cruise and helicopters are fun. So I don't even know if I can put the thing that I just said to you about all that stuff. Like, I have a business, right?
Yeah.
When I see the videos, it makes me, it's so terrible. And I don't even know what to do with it because I cannot, it's not my job. I'm not a fucking journalist. I'm not here to educate people and I have a business to run and I do not want to get caught in some sort of like, and I'm not going to affect anything with my fucking opinion. No one gives a shit. And I'm not going to get caught in some sort. Like, let's say I get a couple hundred thousand people to agree with me. Nothing's going to happen. It's all, we're in it. It's done. We're cooked. And like, but it makes me question whether or not I can say anything because anything I say can be misconstrued and they can go, that motherfucker is this now, and then I'm labeled as something, and then all of a sudden, like, I'm putting in jeopardy with careers of, you know, 20 people and myself. So it's like, you know, it's fucked up, dude. And like, we're all caught in this. We're all in the machine. We're pushing the wheel around. We're all Conan pushing the giant.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
You opened the show and you said you didn't sleep that well.
Yeah.
Is this a byproduct of your lack of sleep? Yeah. Because when you came on my podcast, you were such a bundle of positivity. I'm not gonna say roses and butterflies.
Yeah.
But like, and look, this is an absolutely intelligent, like off the charts, intelligent, charming individual right here, right? So, but the energy today feels a little on the neck. Yeah, a little dark. I mean, is that a sleep? Is that a repercussion of the lack of sleep?
I have not.
He's going out too much. Stop making this man go out at night. Let him get his sleep. More positive impact on the world.
Let me get some sleep, everybody. Stop making me go out. I haven't had a solid 8 hours in a long time, but I usually get by 6:37. But the past three nights, last night I took myself to bed like a good boy at a normal time. I was in bed by like midnight-ish. 11:30 midnight. 11:30. And I keep waking up at 6 because I am like, you know, I am under I don't mind being under pressure. I'm just acknowledging it. I like being under pressure.
You thrive. I thrive. It. And this is why I said it's a good thing. You said it's not a good thing. Maybe it's not because of the sleep, but the thing is, there are people that I know that don't have that mental hunger.
Yeah.
And let me sleep 9 hours, 10 hours. And I'm like, dude, I think it's, for me, I'm somebody who prizes productivity and for accomplishing things, whatever that is in your life. And when you're problem, like, you're getting up and going, I'm like, yes, more power to you. Let's go.
But that's, so here's what happens.
Yeah.
Let's say I go to bed at 2.
Yeah.
My eyes pop open at 6. Then what I do is I try to reclaim that time and get an extra hour in, and then I push things. I'm like, well, okay, now I'm not going to go to jiu-jitsu at this class. I go to the next class, and then I'm in the gym, and then my exercise is not as good. Yeah. And then I come in here, and then I'm cranky. Then I scream at Kat for like 30 minutes at a time in her face, just screaming, yelling about the environment, yelling about GMO, food processing. Where's my fucking matcha? Where's my Splenda? Don't give me Splenda. It gives me cancer. Give me real sugar. Give me liquid sugar. Give me raw cane sugar. What the fuck are you wearing today? You're wearing all black. You had bangs yesterday. You don't have bangs today. Why are you wearing boots? What's going on? What's going on in your romantic life? You want to talk about my life? Let's talk about yours. Oh, that's really complicated. That's what I do to Kat. Her mouth is wide open. No, I don't do that to Kat. But I'm
you can't get your time back. That's
Jason wants me to do. Jason keeps urging me to go back to. We used to do what we call a boneless show.
Wait, where it's boneless?
Boneless. Basically, what that is me. No guest and my mouth. And I did it so many times that it broke me. And I said, I can never do it again because I have to sit here and just vamp for fucking 90 minutes. Just going. Blah, 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 blah. And like, when you do that, you end up divulging. She's like, you end up talking about shit you shouldn't talk about. You end up repeating yourself a million times, which I've done on this. I think everything on this podcast is at this point, like a recycled.
People sentence. Like stories repackaged though. They want to hear you tell your stories. They want to hear new stories, but they love hearing your stories. That's the truth.
Call to action right now, everybody. This is my first call to action ever that wasn't paid for. Here's my call to action. Anyone out there in the podcast universe, okay, I'm talking to you. Anyone out there has any ideas for how we can revamp, revitalize, and inject some life into this podcast? Because I'm burnt, and I need to figure out how to make this thing a little more exciting.
Tell us what you want from this show.
No. I don't want your fucking opinions. I want professionals. I want someone who knows what they're doing to go, hey, Tuton, I see what you're doing. I'm a fan. Here's what I do. I got some ideas for you. Do you want a partner?
Can I talk to you about this?
Hit me up.
In a Minute with Evan Lovin, by the way, make sure you're following.
Again, in a Minute with Evan Lovin.
On the last one.
With Evan Lovin.
It's a great episode. But here's the deal. I don't know that you'll do this, and I know you don't have the bandwidth to do this, but you can have somebody fucking do this.
Okay.
Script. Not a script like you're thinking, but just like bullet points or things you're going to cover, and you stick to your... Listen to this. This is fucking crazy. You want to hear neurotic? I used to have a friend, Washington... He's still my friend, but we became friends in Washington, D.C. First time we ever fucking hung out. I show up at his place, dope pads, like in Southeast Quadrant. Like he lived literally underground. It was dope. We were gonna smoke weed, all this stuff. He had a fucking agenda And we're like, we're like a burgeoning friendship, right? But it's like, as if I'm going to, and I was like, wow, that's fucking formal. This is going to be like a real
agenda
fun
for your hangout sesh.
So here's the deal. And I was like taken aback, right? I was taken aback. But like since then, and we're still friends. Dude, flash forward, we're still friends like 25 later. We have a quote unquote agenda. It's not written like this, but it helps you get to the stuff you want to cover. Like Jason says today, we're going to do this blah, 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 art, whatever the fuck LA thing, right? But if you got those three items right there in front of you, you can go off and do your two-tone stuff and have your tangents and talk about Netanyahu, talk about sleep, talk about going out. But then you're going to circle back and get, you're looking at that like, oh shit, that's right. I did want to talk about that. And that keeps on. And he has time. Like, I don't know how long you're trying to do, 90 minutes, fucking 30 minutes, 60 minutes, whatever it is. He's like, yo, 20 minutes, we're running out. So he keeps you on the flow. But these are three things you want to cover. And you kind of have a feel, a flow to your show, whether it's intro, the meat, and the outro, or whatever, just the three segments we're going to do today. But that's
literally what we're doing today.
Yeah.
And I'm such a fucking spaz. I'm so ADD'd the fuck out.
Yeah.
That I just decided to yell about a fake argument, a fake one-sided argument I have with Kat. Like, I'm insane. So, and also point number two, it's great to have you on because you really carry a lot of the weight. And point number three, your friend that had an agenda written out for your hang sesh, for your first hang sesh, do the words insanely severe autism ring a bell with you? That is a crazy... That is crazy.
Hey man, one time I had a sleepover when I was a kid. One of the first sleepovers I had, I wrote out an agenda. I had the whole night planned out.
Right, there
what
go.
Are you trying to say? Not that there's anything wrong with neurodivergency.
Two-tone, true thing.
Like, what is on the agenda? Like, at 4 o'clock, we're going to have grilled cheese. Okay. At 6 o'clock, we're going to explore our boners. Like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
But think about this. Drawing. How many times have you hung out with a friend that you haven't seen in a long time? And then you fucking go home that night. You're like, oh, shit. I didn't even talk to him about whatever the fuck. So it's just like a cheat sheet. It's like crib notes of like, oh, yeah, fuck? Dude, I haven't seen you in a while. Let's
that is
discuss.
The craziest thing I've ever heard
Or you
heard
forgot.
About.
Like, let's say it's a football. Nobody's talking about Super Bowl right now. But you haven't seen your buddy since the Super Bowl. And he's a Chiefs fan. So you want to be like, oh, dude, good work on this. I mean, just to address it. I'm just
Cliff
saying.
Notes on the hang sesh.
I'm just saying.
I thought it was more like just to avoid smoking weed and not like watching stuff the whole time. Like, because hole that's easy to fall into with
to
friends.
You,
is you just kind of sit around.
You two peas in a pot or... I guarantee you we could ask everybody in this office if they've ever taken notes for a hang sesh.
Listen, it was one time on my dinosaur chalkboard when I was like six.
It does sound crazy. It's
okay,
6 o'clock
makes sense. I'm sorry. 6 years, 6 o'clock. 6 years old makes sense. But
I had to learn to stop doing that because then you create expectations.
But you cover everything you needed to cover, though.
Which brings me back to what I was going to say. Yes. You know, the LA is experiencing a lot of strife. Our nation is experiencing a lot of strife. But what effect do you think that will have on art moving forward, creativity? You can see in LA, there's a skyscraper that was covered in graffiti. They're calling it the Graffiti Museum. So as you can see, like, there are tangible results in the creative world, artistic world from this kind of strife. People also say that Trump has made comedy worse, for example.
Oh, that's factual.
So
Trump has made comedy worse?
Yeah.
What? How?
Stand-up comedy is fucking tanked since Trump. Because it's a certain thing. Because
he's too funny?
No, not.
I mean, kind of.
Because he's like so
bit.
Funny. That-
but also like parody ceases to exist and satire almost ceases to exist. And
because
these comedians
he owns it all.
Yeah.
He basically owns satire because he is satire. Like,
yes!
It's too insane.
Right.
Like there's nothing that can be surreal anymore because he's as surreal
Correct.
As it gets.
Correct. The gold fucking shoes. Yeah,
the gold sneakers.
Yeah.
And then Fat Joe's like, I bought the sneakers. We're living in like, this is my theory is that when they turned on that Hadron Collider about 15 years ago, it augmented reality and we're stuck in an alternate reality because shit is fucking bananas.
Thank you for
bananas.
Putting a date on that. I say we're in Earth 2.0. I said since 2016.
It's fragmented reality. We know
but
this.
I'm
nobody
going
wants
back
to
this date.
Maybe I want to go
back. That date, bro. Because yeah. I've been throwing out 2016.
When was a Hadron Collider? What was the date on that? Any producers? We have two producers in here. No one's like, I say a juicy fucking keyword like Hadron Collider. I should hear motherfuckers typing their brains out. I get nothing. Jason's just looking off into space. Kat is like Googling
find that date, but can I give just a very basic answer, which really is my genuine answer though about art and strife and all this kind of stuff. I've always said, I've been asked what period
2008, sorry for the late.
Ooh, no, that's about right, bro.
13 years.
And you know what?
No, 15 years.
16.
Wait, 16 years.
Yeah.
Wow. It's crazy. This is what blows my mind about myself.
Yeah.
Is that sometimes my brain, as stupid as I am, works and knows that that thing was 15 years ago. And I don't know how. Because I couldn't tell you what I did yesterday. But somehow it knows the Hadron Collider was 15 years ago.
Biggest lesson I learned from my wife is, and not from her, but like being with her on conversation stuff, is everybody has different kinds of intelligences, yeah. Man. It's like, look, I don't want to simplify, don't people smart people. I don't know that that really exists in the sense that everybody has something or some things that they know or they do better. They're just innately more intelligent about, and it's not stuff that's measurable or something you can get compensated on sometimes, but there's something or some things out there.
But also, to be completely fair, there's a lot of dumb motherfuckers out there. There's a lot of trucks. There's a lot of dump trucks out there,
dude.
You know, there are some people that you're just like, you know, they're just not there. And I think some of that is like, you just have different, you're born with a different set of memory. Different RAM, right? Mm-hmm. You had a different, like, mm-hmm. You were set up with different RAM, and this person just doesn't have the RAM. And
what was the date? Not the year, the date? Hydrogen Collider? What's it called?
Hydron Collider.
It was September of 2008. And interestingly, Obama went into office.
Elected November, office January of 2009. So that's it. Because I always go back to Trump getting elected, but that was a result of Obama getting elected. So
things were fucked up in the world. Things were fucked up in the world on a certain level. But like post Hadron Collider, we slipped into we slipped into an alternate reality because everything shifted and we're in the wrong timeline because my brain cannot handle what's happening. And no, it can. Here's the thing. It totally can handle it because I'm really good at disassociating. I just go, it's fine. We're going to just keep going. Everything's fine.
Is that different than compartmentalizing? Because I feel I'm very good at compartmentalizing.
It's the same shit.
Okay, yeah, okay, yeah. Okay.
I'm compartmentalizing.
Yeah. Hold on. I want your answer to the question because I want to give my basic ass answer.
Sure.
Is if I was always asked if I could go back in time in LA history, where would I go? It's super. Now the answer's different, but it used to always be the fucking 60s because of fucking Free Love and Woodstock and the best fucking music. You know, I'm not the guy that's rolling around with like classic rock, but my dad was Jimi Hendrix, Doors, all that kind of shit, The Who. And when you hear that, whether or not that's your thing, you're like, this is such evocative music. Like however you want it. And it's been kind of fucking bullshitted, used in all these movies and like in corny senses. But like, no, that music is a direct result of what's going on at that time in society and culture. So to answer your question, I feel like, fuck yeah, you're probably getting some absolutely.
Here's my time machine. Here's what I request. I'm gonna go to the computer and I'm gonna type in 1987. I'm Don Simpson, but 1987 pre-AIDS. So on Don Simpson, 19, you guys know who Don Simpson is? Simpson, Bruckheimer, producer of like Top Gun, died in a swimming pool. But it would basically be the 80s where you could live on the edge of a fucking razor and you were applauded for it and you're super rich. It would be me living Miami Vice as a fucking, and then the thing is like, I would be able to merge out of that because I would get out right when AIDS hits and you have to start wearing condoms. Can we talk about condom use, everybody? Safe sex. Fuck it. Who cares?
And what effect do you think that's had on art?
Condom use?
Yeah.
I don't know. No, but I really want your answer. I really want your answer though, because I know you're gonna have a fucking legit ass answer.
I would go to the '80s.
No, of the strife, his question. Oh. For all the civil strife, human strife,
art
world,
better
LA
worse?
Specifically. Yeah.
Particularly in LA.
What effects is that gonna have on the art culture?
I think the days of making art as a protest it's never going to be like protest art doesn't really work. Right. There can be messaging in there that is like part of the tapestry, but like, you know, painting a replica of the girl in Vietnam who had napalm on her and she's on the road, you know, that famous picture, like painting that as a painting now is like, no one gives a shit. So you could paint everything that's happening in the Middle East and as a painting, everyone would be like, yeah, whatever, because we're seeing it. We're desensitized. So art as a protest, I'm just some fucking complete asshole and I'm not an art critic. I don't have a pedigree in art, but I will say that I don't think I think that the ways of protesting via art are going to be a little more subliminal. And I think it's like, if you want to protest as an artist, right? Let's say you want to protest. Let's say you're a blue chip artist.
Yeah.
Let's say you're a big motherfucking swinging dick, blue chip, you know, like you're the guy. You want to protest? Then throw some money at some shit. Buy some kids some water. Put a well in fucking Uganda. I don't know. Go fucking save some motherfuckers. The art, have a show and put all that money somewhere and don't even say nothing about it. Just fucking do it. You know what I mean? How about that? That's protest. Because everything else is kind of like, it's just horseshit. It's for Instagram.
There's still got to be a way to reach people though, like that. Maybe the art is just different. The medium.
No, but dude, we're getting, I just watched on CNN on my phone, like them letting off on people trying to get aid, like letting off on trucks of people trying to eat food. Like, it's fuck, we're cooked. Like, no, it's, I just saw
what do
that.
You mean letting off?
Like drone footage of them shooting into trucks as people are trying to get food out of them. Like, I just saw that this morning. Like, that's, there's nothing, that's as crazy as you're saying you
don't need the art to draw attention to that. Draws attention to itself.
Yeah,
it's self-evident.
We see it all the time, all day. We're inundated with it. We're being fried. My phone is fucking me right up the ass and frying my brain. My phone is Eiffel Tower me on a daily basis. There's two iPhones and I'm bookended and I have no choice and I'm getting hit from both sides and I'm just like, and I'm taking it every day for 7 hours a day, just getting fucking smoked. That's what my phone does. And specifically, you know, probably 80% of that is Instagram.
All right. Let me ask you something. What gets you up then? What you obviously get up. Oh. You have a, look, bro.
Oh, what
you
makes,
have a very, not cheery, but a good disposition.
Yes.
Okay. So what gets you?
I'm underslept, yeah. So I run a little dark, but yeah. I'm generally these days, and I've had to, this has not always been my disposition. I feel great.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hard shit happening. There's a lot of stresses in my life. Mm-hmm. I feel fantastic. Because the one thing in my life that has been the defining North Star my entire fucking life.
Yeah.
The only thing that's ever made any sense to me is trying to do creative shit. Trying to make films, trying to make fucking t-shirts, trying to make art, fucking doing prank calls.
And why do you do that? Do you do that for you or do you do that for the world?
I do it because it's the only way that I know that I exist. It's the only way I can define that I'm actually on this planet. To myself. And it's the only way I can prove to myself that like there's any worth in my body.
You create something, you prove to yourself that there's worth.
If I don't have a choice. If I worked at Staples, yeah. Let's say I would be the manager, let's just say that. The entire office would be covered in fucking doodles all day. I cannot help myself. I am like, blah, 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 blah. Like I can't, if I'm not doing that, I'm writing. Like It is just I've been like this forever, and it took me a very long time to figure out how to funnel it and harness
yeah.
it. Because for a long time, it was just trapped in me, and I couldn't get it out.
Yeah.
I spent years just frozen, being like, how do I? And I finally did it. I was like, okay, let's go. So now I'm just like, blah, 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 blah. Like, and my thing is like, I'm just getting it all out and trying to come to some sort of a. There's no end to it, but if I do something that makes someone emote or feel happy, yes. or like someone that I respect is like, hey, that was sick. That fills me up. Like that's how I get love. You know? So, which is like,
okay. So check this out, right? Up. And let's talk about Born and Raised for a second.
Sure.
You've touched a lot of fucking people, created or extended, however you want to say, a culture that has really had a positive impact on this city, literally going anywhere in Los Angeles and beyond the world.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're an artist who has created something that has had an impact.
Yeah.
Who is to say art can't have that impact, whether even as a result of politics? Yours.
I think Born and Raised has had an impact.
Yes.
And I will say just by this, here's why Born and Raised had an impact. Here's what I think. I think Born and Raised was Sponto and I, we got together and like, you know, we're not pedigreed, you know, like, yeah, I went to college, you know, I dropped out and like, but I had a checkered fucking life. Like I was a mess for a long time. Sponto had his life too.
Check out the two-tone episode of In a Minute with Evan Lovett. Great origin story with this. This guy goes deep. Go.
And I think that when we did is like, we were really honest and we shot from the hip and we did what felt right. Mm-hmm. And we didn't really have an actual plan or agenda as to how it was going to make it through. We just were making shit all the time. Sponto was fucking bombing billboards you know, when he was going to chemotherapy that said spondotutone, because that's what he did. You know, like I was locked up fucking doing all the designing and trying to tell stories with film. And it was all, I think we told a very authentic from the heart story, not because that we were trying to fucking signal or we were trying to like, this is our, it wasn't our angle. It's just what we do. Like, it's just how we did it. So I think that alone probably inspired. And we looked to people that look like us, that come from the places that we came from, and we brought them in the fold, and we hired them, and we worked with them, and we cast them as models. And I think all of that, I think, definitely had an influence on, because I'm seeing it now, because I don't understand. I have no concept of time past a certain age. So when I meet someone, they're like, damn, you're an OG. I'm like, I'm not. I'm actually 28 in my mind.
I'm young, fuck.
Right? Like, but no, I'm old, dude. Yes. I'm old. And like 10 years to me isn't a long time anymore. But 10 years to someone who is 32 is crazy. And they're like, yo, there's people that have been watching this shit for 10 years. They've watched us from day one to now. And they're looking at us from scrambling to make a t-shirt, you know, and make it work to like doing a collab with NASCAR, you know, or fucking whoever. And I think that they, in us being just normal guys that aren't like full of shit, I don't think we are or were. I think that they see in us some of themselves, and like that is influential. And I do think that that's why Born a Reason means a lot to a lot of people. And I see that, but it took me a long time to figure it out until I like, because dude, also Born and Raised, this company, this thing that the Born and Raised has been one of the hardest, most grueling jobs I've ever had in my life, because there was no delineation between my life and Sponto's life and the company and the people in the company. It was just like motherfucking, like it was in my house. It was like in my back room. It was like, we were in each other's shit. And it's been like, you know, we were like, we'd fight, we'd fucking not fight. We'd agree, we'd disagree. It was fucking crazy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know where I was going with that, but it's been a wild.
And you created art that impacted people and changed the world, even in this society where we're all desensitized and phones, Eiffel Tower and us at fucking all hours of the day.
Yeah. Well, there was a message. He came up with a message. I empathize with it. He came up with the message, the gentrification message.
Right.
And I was like, fuck yes.
Yeah.
Let's go. Cause I believed in it too. And I've always been a little bit of like, when you really get down to it, I've always been more on the side of like, fuck this shit. Fuck you. I'm going to do me. And I mean that on the level of like, fuck you because I can't buy a house where I grew up. And fuck you because like, you know, whatever the fuck's going on. Like, you know, I've always been a little disgruntled with shit, but that's in my nature. And that's where he's come from too. And, you know, I think that influenced what we do. And then I think that that's also influenced like brands that came after us where they're like, oh, now everything is like connected to some sort of like idea. And a lot of it is also at the end of the day too, a lot of it's bullshit. Like, I'm not saying that we're bullshit. I'm not saying other brands are, but like, I feel like
there's a lot of bullshit out there.
There's a lot of bullshit. Like these big, really big companies have to align themselves with whatever's happening in the cultural zeitgeist because they're terrified of being abandoned or canceled. So like, you know,
weird concept. What a weird society that makes, bro.
Right. Like Burger King's like, oh shit, we got to make sure now that, you know, let me tell you something. If it went the other way, if we were living in a fucking fascist state, then the advertising would go that way too. Whatever it takes to get their fucking, you think they give a fuck? Do you think that these companies would be inclusive if the general consensus was like that fascism was the law of the land and like that everyone wasn't equal and, you know, whatever the fuck people are pretending to believe in? Like, no, they would be doing, it would be fucking white power chicken commercials. Like, they don't give a fuck. Companies are like, these corporations are gigantic, soulless, monstrous machines, and their only thing is to just grow and metastasize and get bigger. Like, that's their only purpose, right? Of a company. The only purpose of a company, like, except for like Patagonia. Patagonia throttles their sales, takes their fucking,
they do?
They throttle their sales. They take their employees on like a 2-month fucking trip. Like, they can't, because the guy's like, who gives a shit? Like, how much fucking money do you fuckers need? Good. How much money do you need? You don't need that much money. Like, you need more money now than you ever used
to. Panda
like,
Express, by the way, is a similar company. I mean, maybe not in that regard, but very philanthropic, treat their employees well, great, like family run, even though it's a huge corporation.
Yeah.
That is very conscious of that. Just want to say that. Also, LA company, first one was at Glendale Galleria, but go on.
I love when, you know, when I hear about someone like Patagonia, they recycle their shit. They stand by what they do. They let their employees off for a couple months.
Yeah.
They go on surf trips together. Like, why can't things be that way? You know, Darius is always trying to get me. He's always like, and I've started to listen to him, but he's always like, Darius is always pulling me aside and be like, hey, fool, fucking let's cook tomorrow. Let's cook Friday. And like, sometimes I'm freaked out and I'm like, what are you talking about? And sometimes I stop and listen to him. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Because it's all going to be fine. Right. We're going to be fine. Yes. We're going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. We're all going to die. We're all going to be covered in oil. We're all going to be fighting for Skittles and the fucking apocalypse. You know, we're going to be like, I don't know what post is. I don't know what's going to happen after the iPhone, but like, we're fucked. I don't know. This is what happens when I don't get sleep. This is, you get some of just the best content. Cut this into 40 clips and let's go viral tomorrow.